Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, my friends, to Web Sleuths Radio, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. I do appreciate it. And Web Sleuths Radio is certainly one of the, I would say, most one of the more popular true crime radio shows. In fact, it's low fat and great tasting, as we all know. Let's get the legal goo out of the way, shall we? The opinions expressed on this show are those of the guests and the host, and I take no responsibility for them, especially my own. Web Sleuths Radio is not the same as WebSleuths.com, which is a completely different corporate entity. Kimster is our executive producer and CEO in charge of Doodle Sacks. Look it up. It's not what you think. Doodle Sacks. She's really in charge of them. Tonight, we welcome somebody very, very special, Carrie McGonigal. Carrie is Amber Dubois' mother. Now, we're going to talk with Carrie in just a moment. And also on the show, maybe later, we're hoping, will be Billy Dunn. Billy is the mother of missing Haley Dunn. And more on Billy in just a moment. But I need to tell you about feeling sorry for myself, okay? I feel like such an idiot. Last night, I was feeling so sorry for myself. Here's the scoop. I had to take in 5 sugar gliders from someone who could no longer care for them because she was sick. Now, a sugar glider is a marsupial from Australia. Basically, it's a flying squirrel. The females keep their young in a pouch like a kangaroo. Now, they're very cute, but I'll tell you this. I have never seen a group of living creatures argue and have nonstop sex like these flying squirrels do. My house has literally turned into an all-night marsupial Jerry Springer episode. I'm serious. I'll go into the room where the cage is, and all of a sudden, a mealworm will be flung out of the cage and hit me. They'll be yelling and screaming in marsupial talk, and then they have sex. It's like makeup sex. It's unbelievable. I'm not kidding. When I got them, there were 5 of them. I have 7 now, and there's one on the way. I just got them a few months ago. Okay, back to feeling sorry for myself. 2 of these Jerry Springer flying squirrels got out of their cage last night and created havoc. They do fly. They actually glide, but it was more like flying. When I finally got them back in their cage, I sat down and almost cried because my house was destroyed. The dogs were in here. They were going nuts. Lamps were tipped over. The litter box was tipped over. Things were on their side. It was awful. It was terrible. I was screaming, not screaming, but I was screaming in my head, why me? I'm trying to do something nice for a sick person by taking in these squirrels, and they're messy and they stink, and they're a bunch of sex crazed pouch baby-carrying flying squirrels. Why me? So I sat there and felt sorry for myself, and then I decided to check my messages because I get 8 million a day. And then I felt like such a jerk because one of the messages I received was about tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 8-year anniversary of when Amber Dubois went missing. That was like 3-year. I'm sorry. Did I say 8? I meant 3-year. 3-year anniversary of when Amber went missing. It was like cold water on my face, Carrie. I felt like such a jerk for crying because I had flying squirrels loose in my house, you know, and here you are going, you do so much good in the world. You could have chosen, Carrie, just to curl up in a ball and not do anything after Amber went missing. I'm afraid that's what I would have done. But instead, you've chosen to get up, get out there, and help others. Carrie, welcome to Web Sleuths Radio. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You forgot the best part, Trish.
What's that?
You left me a message with your screaming squirrels flying around.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I was calling Carrie when the squirrels got out. And as soon as it said, you know, leave your message at the sound of the beep, as soon as the beep happened, that's when the squirrels got out and all hell broke loose. So Carrie gets a message from me screaming hysterically, and things were crashing, weren't they? And that's all it was. That's all it was. Screaming, things crashing. That was my message to Carrie. And for some reason, she wasn't surprised, which is, I don't know, I kind of almost offended by it. But hey, that's how it was. It's true. It was nutty. But Carrie, that anniversary is tomorrow. And it, you know, really, like now my heart is just beating so fast when I think about it because it's so tragic. And I've gotten to know you over these past few weeks, and you are so amazing. Are you doing anything special tomorrow for the anniversary? Is there a remembrance, or what's going on?
Well, we're doing, a girlfriend and I are going up to L.A. at 4 o'clock in the morning to do Good Day L.A. Because this last week a drunk driver crashed through her her back door, and it pinned her husband under a vehicle for 20 minutes and almost hit her 14-year-old daughter, and the drunk driver tried to back up and leave after running over her husband. And she's a team member, and she called me right away, and we rushed over there. She's less than a mile away, and what a horrific sight that was. So she's going to be on Good Day LA, and I'll be on to talking about the anniversary, and then tomorrow evening we'll all get together at a restaurant, have dinner, and then do a candlelight vigil after that on where Amber was taken.
Well, I want you to know, Carrie, that I'll be there in spirit, because we all fell in love with Amber. Her picture is so wonderful. You can tell she was just a bright, incredible child. Why don't you tell us a little bit about her?
No, she was. She was my call her my nerd, because she was a bookworm. She wasn't into any of the normal things teenagers are into. You know, she was a stay-at-home, read her books, stay to herself. She didn't like the mall. She didn't like shopping, and really she was kind of rude to her friends most of the time. But, you know, she would have a sleepover, and she would just go over up to her room and go to bed, and her friends would be like, what do we do now? And I'm like, I'm going to entertain you. So, but she was just a good kid into animals and, you know, into the FFA, and she was just my little bookworm, but just a good kid. All the way around.
That's so wonderful. And she was a cheerleader, too, though, even though she was a bookworm,
no,
right?
No,
oh, she wasn't?
No, gosh, no.
Well, I swear I thought I saw her in what looked like she was a cheerleader. But so she was into bookworms. What was she interested in? What were the books about?
Twilight, anything about wolves, vampires, stuff like that. Harry Potter, just fantasy.
That is so wonderful. Now, you have an organization now. What's the name of your organization?
Team Amber Rescue.
And what does Team Amber Rescue do?
I actually started it to help, to give back to the community, to give back to the charities that helped us, which was Laura Recovery Center and Class Kids. Mm-hmm. And so what Laura Recovery and Class Kids both do is when a child's missing, they go and they train volunteers. So I started Team Amber Rescue to give back to them, so that they don't have to train, you know, team leaders. We could come in with, you know, a group of 20, and we could be team leaders, and we could go out and make sure that everything on the search goes correctly, and nothing gets disturbed.
Let me explain a little bit how a search works with Class Kids, and I think Laura Recovery Center is the same. And Carrie, jump in and correct me if I'm wrong. What happens is you sign up as a volunteer, and then you have a team leader that is kind of already trained, and they take you out and they show you what to do. But the team leaders have to be trained right there too. So it's kind of like this on-the-job, on-site training, and it can be very stressful. So Team Amber, it sounds like, comes in and lifts that incredible pressure off of the search parties, because you already have the trained professionals right there that can just hit the trail and get going. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So what are you doing now with Team Amber? What's the next thing that you will be doing?
Well, right now we have a couple cases going on. We help out. I made a promise the night that Amber went missing. I made a promise to God that no matter what, I would help anybody, any child or any adult missing. You know, I would give as much effort as the family gives. So I get a lot of runaways. Last week, one of my team members stopped and looked at a flyer at Bond and snapped a picture of the flyer, and a girl walked up to him while he's looking at it, and he said, "Do you know her?" And the girl walked away, and he thought, that's weird. So he watched her, and then he saw her tear the flyer off, so he called the police, and he followed her, and it ended up being the runaway.
And, that's amazing. That's a great story.
She was reunited with her family, and he felt great. We all felt great, very proud of him, and all it took was 30 seconds for him to stop and look at a flyer. And, you know, when most people just walk by the flyers, especially if it says runaway, they're like, you know, they just ignore the flyers. And because he stopped and took notice of it, this girl, you know, made it home safe.
And one thing
and
people
ended
to...
up, oh, yeah, oh, go ahead. She ended up no. being with someone, 22, she was 16, ended up being with a 22-year-old that she met on Facebook. And so he was picked up, and the girl was taken home.
that is a good happy ending. And the one thing that people need to realize, they a lot of people see you run away and they think, oh well, you know, it's not the same as a missing person. They're in danger. It is the same. It may not be taken at gunpoint, but they're still in danger. They're on the street, and we need to take them as seriously as we do when another child goes missing, because they're all children in danger in one way or another. And like you said, this guy just took a few minutes and noticed something. He took notice of what was going on around him, and that was important. And I think we all need to do that more, because we are so busy going in and out of places and running around and not, you know, paying any attention to anything. Just stop when you see one of these posters and you know, file it away in your brain and look around. You could, same thing could happen to you, right, Carrie?
Absolutely. It takes 30 seconds to stop and look at a flyer and then just keep your eyes. One funny thing about the thing is, with the runaway or missing adult, missing anything, they take the flyers back down. Adults, children, if they're in that neighborhood, they want to take the flyer down because they don't want to be found.
Right, exactly. And that was the giveaway when she was taking it down, you know.
Yeah, when she ripped it off, yeah.
Right. We're talking with Carrie McGonigal. She is Amber Dubois' mother and is also in charge of Team Amber Rescue. Okay, Carrie, you and I have been talking a lot about this week. We're going to get to Billy here in just a little bit, but let's talk about controversy. There is controversy in your life right now, okay?
No,
right?
There's always controversy in my life.
Of course, but it's not, you know, and one thing that I like to do on Web Sleuths Radio and we like to do on WebSleuths.com, that is clear up misconceptions, get the truth out there, because it's all about the truth. Now, when people heard that I was going to have you on the show, I've been contacted by people, I don't know them, and they've sent me some information that I'd like to talk to you about, and let's get this cleared up, because Team Amber Rescue is not about being on Facebook and calling each other's names and doing stupid junior high stuff like that, but it's about concentrating on finding missing people. So let's try and sweep this gossip away and get it out of our lives so you can concentrate on Team Amber. Let's talk about Haley Dunn here just briefly. Haley went missing, I believe it was December 27th, 2010, in Colorado City, Texas. Is that correct? And there are so many controversies going around just that missing child that we can't even get to tonight. But basically, there was a barbecue held. First of all, is there a trust set up for money to be donated to help with expenses? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, there's two things set up. There was a donation that when we were out there in February that I secured of $10,000 that went to the search center, because that's the only account we had. We put it in trusted hands. Beck, Clint, and Billy both agreed on Beck. The lady that runs the search center should be in charge of it, because she was in charge of the small donations that they were getting. So she was in charge of it, and we started Hope for Haley so that there would only be, because we all know there should only be like one website, there should only be one group that's
sure,
in charge
yes.
of everything, because once you start splitting it up and the public sees that there's multiple entities, it gets screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they agreed on the Hope for Haley. A logo was created, Hope for Haley, and controversy happened. Hope for Haley and the search center split up. And it was, and the fund stayed with the search center. So a trust was set up a few months ago to bring in VK9 out of Maine.
What's that? Wait, back up. What's that? What did you just say? I don't even know what you just said.
VK9 is an organization out of Maine. Julie Jones runs it, and they trail on HSense. Yep, that said, go on HSense.
Oh, okay, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, so this is a search organization.
Correct.
And how are they connected? How are they connected to the trust again? I missed that.
They weren't connected at all. They just were raising money to bring Julie in.
Got it.
And then it was Julie was going to come in by herself, and we talked about it because she had been there before, and because of all the weird things that happened. Have happened in Haley's thing. Julie and I talked about me coming in with her to assist her, and so that was agreed to. And then about 2 weeks prior to us coming in, she decided to bring in Sarah, one of her partners.
Mm-hmm.
So we made all the arrangements. Well, then the the Search Center decided that they would pay for Julie and Sarah to come in. And so the money raised was going to be for me to come in and more or less document everything, because everything should be documented when we're out on a trail.
Right.
Document everything. And to also, it's always, you know, better to have another dog to confirm what's found. So that was the whole deal. And so everything, all the arrangements have been made. The flight wasn't. Everything was arranged. Hotel was donated by the same person that donated the $10,000. So it's basically the flight, and 24 hours prior to us leaving, Julie got hurt and had to cancel.
Okay.
So then it came down. Then it came down to, should I stay? Should I come in or not? And I talked to the Search Center, talked to the trustees, and after figuring out what the amount of money for me to cancel the flight and reschedule it for another time was $350, because I was booked on three different airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So each one had a cancellation, and the plane ticket was, I don't know, less than $500. So it was almost the same amount to cancel as it would be to come in. And after talking with the Search Center and talking with law enforcement and everything else, we decided it couldn't hurt to go ahead and come in and have another search, because at this point there's really no big searches going on for Haley.
Okay, so let's back up here. Okay, so you were going to come in, and you were going to go with Julie to kind of help out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because you knew the area, maybe help keep Julie safe and all of that. And then Julie got sick, or got hurt, excuse me.
Got hurt.
So rather than cancel and lose all that money, you decide to come in with your dog, correct?
Correct. And it wasn't just me deciding. I mean, we called multiple people. You know, there's two trustees, both trustees called people, and I called the Search Center, and it was agreed between all of us that, you know, a search is better than nothing at all.
Exactly. So you came in, and the controversy is that some people who donated to this fund to bring Julie in and the other search team were upset because they donated to bring Julie in, and she wasn't able to come in, and you came in instead. Respond to those people who are upset about this.
No, I think it boils down to about five people that were really upset about it, and truthfully, I don't even think those five donated. But besides that, they donated to the trust to bring in you know, a search effort or whatever. Julie still, she may have already come in. I don't think she has. Julie's still supposed to reschedule. And the bottom line is nothing. No one was deceived about any of it.
Okay, and once again, let me just back up here. We're talking with Carrie, say your last name again. I mess it up all the time.
McGonigal.
Carrie McGonigal, Amber Dubois' mother, and we're talking about this thing that shouldn't even be an issue, where Carrie was going to come in with another searcher, and the other searcher got hurt, wasn't able to come in. So Carrie came in, and there was some money raised to bring them in. The money was used for the search. There was nothing about that. But now, and there are some people that are causing you problems about this, so I just want to get it out there. So in case anybody hears about this, they can know just to not worry about it, that it's all on the up and up, okay? Now, Carrie, question. It just flew out of my mind like my flying squirrels. Hold on, let me think here. I don't know how to ask this without sounding rude, and I don't mean to. Your dog is not certified, correct?
Correct.
Why are you taking it on searches? I mean, shouldn't it be a dog that is certified?
I have enough hours in training in my logbooks that she could be certified. I have to, in order, and there's so many certifications. I mean, you know, there's in a couple of years, Team Amber will write their own certifications for their canines.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to be certified through NASAR because it's a national organization. But in order for that, I have to find an instructor to come here, pay for the instructor to come here and set up the courses and run it. In the past, we've always flown Brad Dennis from Florida out here for all of our training. And we may fly him out for the canine, but am I going to fly him out for one canine, or am I going to wait till I have the two other canines that we're training and certify the whole team? That's really what it boils down to.
I understand, but let me play devil's advocate here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have search and rescue certified dogs all over the country. and Team Amber Rescue comes in with Carrie, and the dog isn't certified, and you're out there where there's evidence, where, you know, things, we don't know that your dog has all these hours. How do you respond to those people who are upset that you're searching without the certification, even though you have all the hours? Give me your response to that.
I search out here with different organs. I search all the time out here, and I let law enforcement know that she is, my dog's not certified, and they understand that she is, you know, she has the hours. I have my records to prove in case it goes to court of how many hours she has on the books of training her correct responses and not. And I search out here in California on multiple cases, and they're okay with it.
Okay, so in other words, if somebody has a problem with you searching, you can prove that your dog has the hours, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. What are you doing that's unconventional in as far as search and rescue goes? Because you're not doing the same things that everybody else is doing. You're doing things differently. What are you doing?
Well, I'm not really doing things different. I mean, California is mandated by the sheriff's department through search and rescue, and some sheriff's department, San Diego, they don't work with any outside groups. Orange County is very, very great about it. We have an open case now where when we go out to search, they send an officer with us to mark down everything. I mean, it just depends, you know, but most of or all of California is mandated by the sheriff's department, and everyone goes through the sheriff's department. But I've had team members that have applied for the sheriff's department, and they get denied, and there's no reason. They don't give a reason why they didn't make it through the academy. But they're good people, and they still want to search. So I'm trying to start an organization that is outside of the sheriff's department, and I understand it's going to take years for us to build up the credibility that we could ever be first responders on a search. But I'm willing to put in the time, and so are my team members, and we will continue to build, you know, our reputation so that one day we are first responders.
Okay, Carrie, we're talking with Carrie McGonigal, that is Amber Dubois' mother, about her organization. And I just see that Billy Dunn has called in. So, Carrie, do you mind if we take over now with Billy and talk with Billy for a little bit, and we can come back to maybe your contact information and how people can get involved at the end of the show? Would that be all right with you?
Oh, absolutely. Hi, Billy.
Oh. Okay, hold on one second. Let me get Billy on the air here. There we go. Billy, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Billy Carey's here. We're talking with Billy Dunn. And Carrie McGonigal, she is Amber Dubois' mother. And Billy, I appreciate you coming on. I know you were very hesitant about coming on, and I understand why. I just want to tell you something before we get started, Billy, okay? I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm not here to try and make you look bad. We just want to know information so we can help you find Haley. That's all it is. And I know there's misinformation out there, so I want you to help me and help the members of Web Sleuths and the people listening to Web Sleuths Radio help us understand what is true and what is not, okay? So how about this, Billy? How about if we just start with the day Haley went missing? Tell us about that day. Tell us what happened. Walk us through everything that happened that day, including when she went missing and when you found out.
Okay. Well, I have hundreds of times, but I'll say it again. She went missing on Monday. I didn't find out till Tuesday. So Monday when I was at work, Sean called me at some point in the afternoon. I guess it must have been around 3:30 or 4 because it was after Haley left the house before David got home. So I asked him what my kids were doing, and he said, "David isn't home yet. And Haley went to her dad's, and she's spending the night with Mary Beth." So I said, okay. So that night after I got home, David did come in my room after I was laying down, maybe 9 or 10 o'clock, and he said, "Mom, I don't like Haley over at Mary Beth's. Her boyfriend's always there."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, that's good to know. She won't be going over there anymore." I was a little bit upset Haley didn't clear it with me anyhow. She had just cleared it with Sean.
Okay.
So the next day. I thought she spent the night with a friend. Around noon, I called David. I said, go ahead and call Haley, text Haley's friend to tell her to tell Haley to come home now.
Okay.
So David did that and called me right back not too long later and said, Mom, she said, Haley didn't spend the night there. And I said, well, get over to your dad's because he lives basically across the street. I said, go over there and see if Haley stayed the night there. And this is already very unlike Haley. She's never done this.
Right. So now you're worried.
So, right. I'm already panicked. David went over there, called me back, said, Mom, Haley didn't stay the night there. Clint didn't have a phone. I said, David, take my phone back over to your dad and let me talk to him. So he did. I got Clint on the phone, and I told him, I'm coming home. I was at work 20 miles away. I'm coming home. You go ahead and go to the police station and file a missing persons report. Haley's not where she was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at that time, I asked, had Haley at least stopped by there? And I thought that he told me, Naomi said she did, but I wasn't here. I was with my friend playing video games.
Okay, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? It broke up a little bit in my ear. Repeat that last couple of sentences for me.
Clint said that Naomi had told him Haley did stop by Monday.
Okay.
But he wasn't there.
Okay.
He wasn't there. He didn't see her.
Okay. So and Naomi is?
Clint's girlfriend.
Okay. Okay. And can you speak up just a little bit for us, Billy? I know it's kind of hard. If you could, that'd be great. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
So I get my sister-in-law to come pick me up from work and bring me back to Colorado City so I can find my daughter. So we got into town. I went by her best friend Heather's house. Nobody was home there. So we went by Heather's grandma's house and didn't get an answer. So I left a note at Heather's house, and then I went to the police station and reported her missing.
Mm-hmm.
After that, for a couple of days, it's pretty hazy.
Okay. When you say hazy, just because it was so stressful and
I think,
you know,
so.
Yeah, because everything was...
Before I reported her missing, I can remember everything very well, but actually going to the police station and I guess having to report your child missing is too overwhelming, and
well,
I just don't remember things really well.
That can, your mind can certainly shut down because it has to protect you, you know, because you've got so much stress. Carrie, we have Carrie Amber Dubois' mom with us. Carrie, do you have anything that you would like to add or ask Billy as we continue on?
Well, there was a time where you called for, did you call the Texas Rangers and stuff? I know that you called out to, you called like baskets and stuff.
I called the Texas Rangers a week or two into it because I felt not enough was being done. I called them a couple of times, and Clint called FBI, and I called FBI before FBI finally got involved also.
Okay. Now, Billy, understand that the people that on Web Sleuths and myself, we are not asking these questions to embarrass you or to make you feel bad, but it helps us know what's going on, and it helps to get, I know you've told the story a million times.
There are people with their minds made up. I've put the truth out there over and over again.
Well, I know, but you know what? I know that, but see, when I'm just learning some of this stuff new tonight, I didn't know some of these things that you're telling me. This is good. But when you say, okay, now I have an affidavit here. It was about getting a search warrant. And it said that you took a polygraph. And it said that the first one, you had to stop because you were taking narcotics. Were you taking any narcotics the night or the day after that Haley went missing?
The same night I did. Monday night I did.
Okay.
I had hydrocodone and antibiotics for a bad tooth.
Okay. So I'm thinking maybe that might be a cause of some haziness, too. I mean, you add that to the stress of this happening.
Probably so.
Right. Now, I want to talk to you about this affidavit that I have. I'm sure you've seen it. Well, first of all, actually, I want to talk about something to get to clear it up, because Carrie and I were talking, and we're talking with Billy Dunn, Haley Dunn's mother, and Amber Dubois' mother, Carrie. And Carrie and I were talking before the show about something. There's an article in a newspaper called ccitynews.net, and in this article, it claims that, according to the article, that Haley's family has not made it easy for the police department to work with them and to try and find Haley. According to the article, the police department gave you a phone for maintaining contact after your phone was seized. It was seized by the police. But then you disconnected the phone. That's not true. Tell me about that.
No. They didn't give me a phone. They did take my phone, turn it off. Never monitored it. I called it several times. I had family that called it several times. The voicemail box is full. It's not been checked. It's turned off. Goes straight to voicemail still. They took my phone, and I never got a reason why I didn't get the phone back. I really wanted it just because of pictures Haley had put on there of herself. But FBI did come in sometime later, because I already had another phone from one of my best friends. She gave me her phone to use. FBI gave me another phone, and I kept that one also. I only use the cell phone my friend gave me. Well, I use that one for everything. I only use the one the FBI gave me to talk with, primarily the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
When it ran out of minutes, I didn't put more minutes on it.
So if the police needed to contact you, I'm not talking about the Texas Rangers, although we love them and they are an amazing group, but if the local police wanted to contact you, do they have a way to contact you, or are they just kind of playing with words here by saying that they are having trouble contacting you?
Oh, definitely.
They do have a way to contact you.
Yes, they had my other number as well, because I was calling up there several times a day, and they would always, they're busy, they're in meetings, let me take a message. So
okay.
They always took my other number down.
So you did call the police and to find out what's going on. When was the last time that you called them?
It has been a long time, since my arrest.
And why is that? Is there a particular reason, or?
I had been cooperating with them and doing things they asked me to do, even if I didn't agree. I just did it just to let them get over this and start looking for Haley instead of playing whodunit. So I was very cooperative up until I got arrested, and I just decided it's not paying off and it's not working, mainly because that night when I was taken to jail, one of the DA detectives pulled me out of the cell several times to accuse me of having some knowledge of where Haley was or what had happened to her, and telling me that she was deceased, which I can barely even say that. I don't want to think about that. I still feel like the worst thing I can do is give up hope on my daughter. And I hate the man. I think he's a snake now. I think he's the devil.
Let's talk about your arrest, because maybe people don't know about that. We're talking with Billy Dunn, the mother of missing teen Haley Dunn. We also have Amber Dubois' mother, Carrie, with us. And Billy, you were arrested for, according to the police, giving them false information when they were trying to find your boyfriend at the time, Sean Atkins. Correct? Is that why you were arrested?
It was lying to a police officer, because they asked, was Sean there? I told them no.
Right. Lying to a police officer, right. And what happened with those charges?
There were other charges that were completely dismissed or dropped because they were so bogus. The lying to a police officer, that happened. I did that.
Let's back up. Why did you lie? Why didn't you let them know Sean was there? I mean,
I'm not even sure. I just know that Sean didn't want to talk to them. Their vehicle pulled up, and I said, Sean, I think they want to talk to you. And he said, I'm not going to talk to them. I don't feel like talking to them right now. So at first I told him Sean wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. And Billy, can you see why people might go, whoa, you know, here her daughter's missing and she lies for her boyfriend. And I see why the police did it. It was a pressure tactic to see if they could get you to talk. But I think you can understand how that might look. We're talking about perception here, and sometimes perception and what is really the truth can be two totally different things. But can you understand how people can look at that and go, well, she's protecting her boyfriend. Why would she lie? Your response
okay,
to that?
Okay. Oh, go ahead,
Carrie. Carrie, go ahead. Carrie, this is Amber Dubois' mother. Oh, Carrie, go ahead.
One of the things I want to say, and I see it in multiple cases, is that there's not a liaison person between the law enforcement and the family. And mm-hmm. it would have happened in Amber's case. We had our investigator, our lead investigator, on it, and he double-crossed me, or he threw me under the bus in front of my boyfriend and Amber's father about something that happened. And I looked at him, and I'm like, it's done. I'll never speak to you again. And for the rest of Amber's investigation, I never spoke to that person. Now, if Escondido wasn't smart enough to get a liaison person right away saying this isn't working, I don't think I would have ever spoken. The communication with law enforcement and myself would have been nothing. I would have stopped mm-hmm. all communication. That's how much I hated the person. And Billy Sides, who's a DA investigator, he told me straight up, he said, you know, Billie Jean, we had a good relationship up until I put the cuffs on her. Well, no shit, really? I'm sorry, but you know what? He broke that trust. Billy was completely cooperative with Billy Sides, the investigator, up until he put the cuffs on. And that's when the communication halted. And,
okay.
And it halted in Amber's case also with the investigator. You can't have an investigator also be the liaison. You have to have someone, a middle person that trusts, you know, that the family trusts if you want to continue open dialogue.
But, Carrie, let me say something. And, Billy, this is one thing you have to accept. Billy lied to the police. That's the difference. She
but
lied.
Then they returned. What happened when they returned, Billy?
Well, they didn't return. He just asked, could he come in and look? And knowing he was going to find him, and I could have told him no. I told him, yeah, come in and look. I don't care. Sean wasn't supposed to be there anyhow. I didn't think I think he was waiting for his mom to come and get him because
mm-hmm.
we were arguing. But so I don't know. I just told him, yeah, come in. So he came in and went and got Sean and talked to him and just set us on the couch. They didn't let me know what was going on, and I just didn't understand anything. Another police officer came over, and she took me into my bedroom and would not let me go out of my bedroom and wouldn't let Sean come in my bedroom to check on me.
Well,
and she held me there until Billy Sides came and arrested me and asked if he can search my house again, which I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. And, Billy, I understand where you're coming from. I do. And Carrie and I have talked at length about this. And, again, I don't want you to think that I'm jumping all over you or anything. But, you know, you lie to the police, they can arrest you. That's it's just black and white. You know, there's no – if you hadn't lied to the police, they wouldn't have arrested you. So there's your perception and reality, and I understand what you're saying. But let's talk a little bit about Sean, okay, because a lot of people have a lot of trouble with Sean. Now, he admitted, according to this affidavit, to threatening you and to threatening Haley, correct?
According to the affidavit is anything the police want to say to be able to get what they want.
Okay,
he has never accused Haley, and he never said that he did either.
Okay, so
I disagree with many things.
Okay, well, that's, you know what, Billy, and this is why I want to talk to you, okay? This is, again, don't look at this as a personal attack. This is why I want to talk to you, okay? So has Sean ever threatened you or threatened Haley?
He has threatened me. He's never threatened Haley. That's a whole completely different story.
What do you mean a different story? Tell me what you mean
by
that.
That's completely different. You don't threaten my children. That's just way completely different in my eyes and in my mind. If you're mad at me and you want to talk ugly to me, that's fine. But, no, he's never said anything about my children. He wouldn't have been there.
Okay. So you're saying that he's never threatened Haley at all?
No.
Okay. But he has threatened you. Now, some might ask, he's threatened you, therefore he is dangerous and he's in your house with your children. Do you feel that Sean is dangerous? You've had a restraining order placed on him, correct?
Yes. And that was, again, more just to try to work with police.
Okay.
And I'd basically given up, yet I still took out the order like they asked me to. And
okay,
then when I wanted to have it pulled back, I couldn't.
Okay. He did threaten to kill you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I thought Sean had said that he threatened Haley. That's not true, you're saying. According to you, that didn't happen.
No.
Okay. Okay. I'm just, you know, I can only go by the information that I have. And so that's what I'm going by. And I'm so glad that you called in so we can get to all of this. Again, with Sean, are you still with Sean?
Yes.
And okay.
I have no reason not to be. He has stood right beside me, and he's been the one constant. He's been there with me day in and day out, comforting me. Every time I cry, every time I'm upset, Sean is the one there.
Okay. He failed 2 or 3 lie detector tests, was it?
He failed one.
Mm-hmm.
And so did I, and so did my brother.
Okay. That doesn't cause you to go, wait a minute, failed.
At first, of course it did.
Mm-hmm.
After I failed, and then I went home and told my brother, and my brother said, you know what, I did too. They told me not to tell you that. I knew something was wrong. When I talked to my lawyer, he said, let me guess who did your polygraph. And, of course, he got it right. And he said, those people are a joke. He called up a man. I forgot his name. He said, this guy basically wrote the book on how to give a polygraph the correct way. That man got on the phone. He also knew the names of the guys who gave us a polygraph and said what a complete joke they were, that then he didn't understand why they were still allowed to give polygraphs.
Okay.
There were questions like, did you do anything to cause Haley's disappearance? Well, of course, I left her at home that day by herself.
Mm-hmm.
They asked Sean and my brother, could Haley be in Scurry County? Haley could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Just very terrible questions, like a setup.
Mm-hmm. So you felt that you were set up to fail, basically, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want to get back to
Sean.
I feel
like they've never wanted to look. The easiest thing to do was pin it on the boyfriend.
Right, right. And according to the information that we have, it's understandable that they would look at the boyfriend and you. And you understand that when a child goes missing, they search from the inside out first. They start with the people closest to them and then move out. I'm going to get back to Sean in just a moment, but I have a question, and several people have asked this question. What is the biggest misconception about you that you would like cleared up?
About me? There's so many about the whole situation that I could have ever hurt my daughter. There are people that actually think I did something, although I was at work and I'm the one that reported her missing. And there are people who think Sean did something, which he did not. There's not a way in the world he could ever hurt Haley or hurt me in that way.
Okay.
That's the biggest misconception.
Okay. Now, the problem is we don't
or
know.
The people who think that law enforcement do not lie, because that's the way I thought too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, according to this affidavit, that Sean has said many things that I would a few of them I'd like to go over with you. Okay. And Sean, according to the affidavit, said things that, like, Haley was promiscuous and kind of said some really awful things about her. Did he say those things?
No, he said, as I did, that Haley was boy crazy. She was not having sex. Sean knows she was not promiscuous. So mm-hmm. I know you didn't say that.
Okay, so the police are lying in the affidavit then.
Yeah, they lied a lot in that affidavit.
Okay. Billy, this is what the public has to go on. So these are where the misconceptions are happening. Okay, and this is why it's good for you to come on and just answer it flat out. Now, according to the affidavit, Sean said he was fired the day Haley went missing. But according to his supervisor, that's not true, that he just walked out. He got to work at 6 a.m. And by the way, according to the supervisor, Sean's a very good worker. They all liked him. Sean got to work the day Haley went missing at 6 a.m., went to the break room, got a Dr. Pepper, and then just left at 6:10. According to the affidavit, cell phone pings do not show him going straight to his mother's house like he said. Your comments, please.
He went to his grandma's house. He quit his job. He did not tell me about that because we've had problems about his job situation in the past. He certainly didn't tell me he was going to try to get another job before he told me.
Mm-hmm.
But he did quit. The thing with the cell phone ping, he did not go to my house. He drove through Sioux City to get to his mother's, which he would have had to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, I'm a little confused
and
on the
The timeline with it also, he had enough time to get from work, stop at his grandma's, knock, they weren't up, and then go to his mom's house.
Okay, so I you know, I apologize. I may have just lost track of what you were saying. So you're saying that Sean did quit, but he didn't want to tell you, right?
Right.
Okay. So why did he tell law enforcement that he was fired?
I don't know. I don't even know if he did.
Okay. Okay, so that's something else that you feel they could be lying about, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Now, according to Sean's boss, he just walked out, like he didn't quit or anything. Is that what he told you he did, or?
I can't remember exactly if he told somebody or he just walked out. I don't know.
Let me tell you why that's important. Normally, it would mean nothing, but it's the day Haley went missing. So these type of details, you know, can clog up an investigation, can just make it stop unless you can find out exactly what happened. And if somebody isn't telling the truth, then it messes everything up. Amber Dubois' mother, Carrie, you've been listening in. Is there anything that you would like to add? You've been close to Billy for a while here. What would you like to add?
Well, I'm just curious, and I don't know actually the name of it, but I know in Amber's case that the police department went through the FBI, because with the FBI, you don't have to have affidavits, and it falls into a different thing where they can serve search warrants and they can do all this stuff without it being public knowledge. And I'm just wondering why does everything with this case have to go through an affidavit where they have to prove to the judge that this is what they, you know, this is what they come up with, so that they have to write out these affidavits to turn in to get a search warrant. Why wouldn't they just go to the FBI where they, I forget it, and sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but there's a search warrant that the FBI does not have to go through all these affidavits, and they can serve multiple search warrants without the whole public, without turning in this stuff. I mean, that would be my question to law enforcement.
The FBI did tell me probably 2 or 3 weeks ago that they had not much, if anything at all, to do with Colorado City law enforcement. They've never agreed with certain things. So it wasn't exactly them. It wasn't FBI.
No. I'm saying why doesn't local law enforcement use the FBI for what they're there for, where they don't have to give an affidavit, they don't have to write long things,
right,
and they reach out to the FBI and say, hey, we need a search warrant. I mean, there was 50 of them served on Amber's case that no one knows anything about, because with the FBI, you don't have to prove anything. They do a, I forget what it's called, but they do a search warrant, and they get all the information they need without phone records and everything else. They don't have to follow the same, you know, rules that law enforcement have to follow.
Probably because they didn't agree on everything. Colorado City wasn't trying to cooperate with FBI. I know that other towns came in, chiefs of police, I'm not supposed to know about this, so I won't say who, offered their help also. And Colorado City, early in the beginning, said, no, we have it under control. They've turned down help from EquiSearch. You guys, I was able to call you and ask you to come in, and you could just do that. You didn't need law enforcement's approval, thank God, or they would have told you no. I think they did tell class kids no, but they came anyway. EquiSearch needed law enforcement's approval, which we could not get. So they were never able to come in.
And that's what everyone doesn't understand is that people have said that multiple times. How come Texas EquiSearch doesn't come in? Well, most agencies like us, they don't come in unless we work with law enforcement.
Yeah, the last thing they want to do is come in, is a search party come in without the backing of law enforcement, because it's impossible. It would make things so much worse. We're talking with Billy Dunn. She is the mother of missing teenager Haley Dunn. And we have Amber Dubois' mother, Carrie, on as well. We have lots of questions coming in, and I'm kind of hopping all over the place here, but I just want to make sure that we're clear on this. Billy, you said you have talked to the FBI recently. When was that?
Maybe 3 weeks ago.
Okay, and what did you talk to them about?
I called to clear things up. Rumors I had heard, that's why I called, and then we talked a little bit about the case.
Okay, what rumors did you hear, and what did they say? Were they responsive?
I wanted to know why they were following a psychic's tip, going out to the airport, digging around, or what was the deal with that? What was the real lead that led them out there, which FBI really doesn't have much of a clue what Colorado City's doing, and that's basically what they told me. I told them I needed a liaison. I needed somebody that I could talk to, and they said exactly I did, and they just wanted to make it very clear that it's not them who raked us over the coals. And I know that.
Okay, got it. So you
also
called
it. I wanted to kind of find out what was the deal with Haley and Mexico, which I was told Naomi completely lied about that. They never thought she was in Mexico. Naomi said that they found her in Mexico but couldn't just run in and get her, which I knew that was a lie, but I wanted to ask more about that anyway.
So Naomi is your ex-husband and Haley's father's girlfriend, and you heard that she claimed that Haley had been found in Mexico, and so you wanted to call and make sure that wasn't or was true, right?
Right.
Okay. We're kind of just going through here slowly but surely so we can get all of this cleared up. Hang tight here for just a moment. I want to get back to the affidavit, okay? According to the affidavit, while Sean was being interviewed, he showed them his phone that had information on it. They gave it back to him. They asked to see it again. Before he handed it to them, he deleted the information they wanted to see, according to the affidavit. Have you heard about that at all?
Yeah, and that's completely ridiculous. They said, show me where you called Billy. So he pulled it up and showed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess a couple minutes later he said, you know what, show me that again. Sean looked for it and couldn't find it. But
okay.
All it was a phone call made to the hospital.
Okay, got it. What about this video on YouTube? Didn't you find that disturbing?
I just think they're crazy, young, immature boys trying to get a rise out of people.
Right. It did. It certainly did get a rise. I mean, but Billy, do you see now as we go through everything, why people, you know, and I'm not trying to pile on here. I'm just I'm just trying to get you to see the perception out here. He's threatened to kill you. People have said he's threatened Haley, and Haley was afraid of him. You're saying, no, he's not. You know, you lied to prevent the police from seeing him. You were arrested. He claims that he was fired, and his boss said, no, he just walked out. Supposedly, cell phone pings didn't have him say, didn't have him where he was. Then we add,
yeah,
then we
did.
Get, well, according
the
to the affidavit.
Cell phone pings put him going to his mom's house.
Okay. So you're saying the cell phone, the perception of the cell phone pings having him somewhere, placing him somewhere differently, that is not correct, according to you, correct?
No, it didn't put him, they did not put him somewhere he wasn't supposed to be. They showed exactly where he was.
Got it. Okay, understood. Let's talk about what was found on the computer. Now, I was reading what was found, and, you know, and honestly, if someone looked at my computer, I'd be mortified, the stuff that's on there, just because of what I do with Web Sleuths. I mean, I have a bunch of serial killer stuff, you know, true crime stuff, morbid things, just, you know, all of that. A lot of people do. But apparently there was something on here that law enforcement really felt. And when I say law enforcement, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure who looked at it first and who had the problem with it. Was it the FBI? Was it local law enforcement? I don't know. But there was very disturbing pornography on the computer, I have been told, or we have been told. What are your comments on that?
I've been told the same thing, and I just don't know if I believe it. But even if it was, it's not Sean's computer. There were so many people that had access to it. But no, I don't see him, his mom, his little brother, his stepfather looking at anything like that. His stepbrothers, I don't know them at all. I just, I don't even know if I believe that anything was on there.
Okay. So you don't think there was any child porn on there?
I know there wasn't child porn on there. Somebody would be arrested.
Okay.
And
could it,
if there was child porn on there, it's a damn shame nobody was arrested.
Well, I agree. If there was child porn on there, somebody should have been arrested, because that's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Okay. Kimster, are you with us? Kimster, Billy is our executive producer, and she kind of monitors the chat room. Kimster, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do you have any I don't want to ignore the people in the chat room, but I just want to make sure that Billy understands this isn't an all-pile-on Billy interview. But I know we've had a lot of questions. Is there something, a question in the chat room that you would like to put out there for us?
Well, I haven't seen anything that you haven't addressed already, Tricia. The last one I saw was people were asking about the computer, so thank you, Billy, for answering that. But I'm looking at the chat room right now, and I'm not seeing any new questions right now. But thank you for calling in, Billy, and answering some of these questions that so many people have had. I appreciate that.
Okay, Billy, once again, I'm going to talk about the perception here. here's the reality of tonight's interview so far. The police have lied about everything. They've lied about everything in the affidavit. And, again, the perception. And even though Sean has threatened to kill you and that you had a restraining order against him, he's a great guy. Do you see how people just looking in would go?
No, I did in the beginning. Now I don't understand it at all. In the beginning, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean in the beginning? I'm confused.
When, before people knew anything. Before, or people only had to go on what the police was putting out there. But now so much more has come out, and it's pointing to many other areas.
Let's talk about that. That's great.
Okay.
I want to hear this. Let's get away from Sean. Let's talk about what is the evidence out there pointing in other directions. Let's go. The floor is yours, Billy. I want to hear this. This is good.
The simple fact is nothing happened to Haley inside my house. For fact, somebody took her out of the house or snatched her off the street. Cadaver dogs have been in my house. Not just Linda's, also law enforcement. They've been in and around my house. My car's been looked at. Nothing happened to Haley inside that house. I can't get over the fact that a sex offender who has more rapes and kidnaps than I have teeth in my mouth is not being looked at because he's a good guy. He has lived near, within 20 miles of three missing teenagers. That's a hell of a coincidence. But he's not being looked at because he's a good guy.
What do you mean? Okay, back up. Let's back up. When you say he's not being looked at because he's a good guy, where do you get that from? Who's telling you that? How did you come to that conclusion?
The Colorado City Police.
Okay, and how?
This man is a good guy.
Actually, it was the sheriff and the DA investigator said to me, "Oh, you got him all wrong. He's a guy." And I said, "Oh, well, would you have him watch your kids?" Well, absolutely not. But he's a good guy.
What was his offense? What was his offense that put him on the sex offenders list?
Many, right? So,
yeah, there's multiple offenses. I don't have them in front of me, but there's multiple.
There's also at least one kidnapping, but there are multiple rapes since he was about 17, and I guess he's, I don't know, nearing 50.
Yeah, and then there's also, you know, then let's go back to the other gentleman who's on the most wanted list out of Oregon. He's on the most wanted list, and he's sitting in Colorado City because they don't want to extradite him. They don't want to pick him up. Even though he's been up in Oregon, he's been up where Lindsey Vonn went missing, and he travels from Texas to Oregon, and he's on a most wanted list. But because he's following, he's in compliance in Texas now because he's registered. They don't want to extradite him back to Oregon where he's on a most wanted list.
Well, that's just bizarre. I really?
Yeah.
Do you know his name?
What is that guy's name, Billy? Someone will text me in a minute. I'm sure. What is his name? Hold on. He's out of Clackamas, Oregon.
I've heard too many names.
There's a name popping up here. Oh, I don't want to say it.
There's so many other things. Ridiculous.
Okay, so this guy, so Carrie, we're talking with Amber Dubois' mother, Carrie, and Billy Dunn, mom of missing teenager Haley Dunn. So, Carrie, you're saying this guy, this registered sex offender, was in the area when Haley Baum went missing. When Lindsey Vonn went missing, that was in Idaho, correct?
That's in Oregon.
Oregon. Wow, my God, I'm so confused. There's unfortunately too many missing kids to keep track of.
Actually, Tricia, Lindsey Vonn went missing out of McClary, Washington.
Washington.
That's
right. You're
right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're saying this registered sex offender was in the area when Lindsey went missing, right?
Yeah, it shows that he was in that area, yeah.
Okay.
Now that's only what I have access to. When I reported it to the FBI, they said, "Well, you can't really look at public records." And my response was, "Well, okay, give me access to your records so we know where he's been." But the bottom line is, he's sitting in he was sitting down there in Texas, and I let Clackamas Sheriff know, I let Sioux City Police Department know, and I believe he's still sitting there, looking pretty.
So, in other words, he left Washington and from the area where Lindsey Vonn went missing, and then he was down in how close around was he to your area, Billy, when Haley went missing?
I believe he was in Sioux City.
I don't know.
Yeah, because once they leave Texas, they go off of the off of the records.
Mm-hmm.
So he left and he's wanted. I think the day was 3 days after, here it is, Thomas Marvin Baker. He is still, December 28th, starting on December 28th, he's stole a car and he failed to register as a sex offender.
Okay.
So if Haley went missing really on the 26th, he's up there wanted, and then now he's back in Sioux City again. Who travels from Sioux City to Clackamas, Oregon like that?
Yeah, that is, well, that's just, to be honest, that's way too close for comfort. That should be somebody that should be at the top of the list. If that information is correct, that guy should be dragged in. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And you can look at it. He's still on the most wanted list out of Clackamas, Oregon, under the Sheriff's Department. And I can check right now if he's still on the if he's still on the sex offenders for Sioux City. I haven't looked in a while.
Okay, and Billy, while Carrie is looking that up, tell us more about things that are out there that point to other people.
Well, those are the main things. And the fact that Sean didn't have much time to do much of anything, and really, I don't see how he could hold it in all by himself, to himself, for this long and be living and this close with her family.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing are the sex offenders that bother me. That because from day one, they asked how I felt about it, and I said, I live on I-20. That really bothers me. And the chief of police said, you know, that just doesn't happen here. And I looked at him like he was joking. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, it happens everywhere, and unfortunately, it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
There was also, it's been a while, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, a guy had been out raping women in Sioux City, and I think he lives in Lorraine. They arrested him. They let him out. I'm sure that, and the girl said he threatened to kill me, had a knife to me, and I got away. I bet you they didn't question him once about Haley. I bet you they didn't.
Let me ask you something. There's been a couple of things pop up in chat, and I am not clear on it. Maybe you can clear this up, Billy. There's something about earrings. There is a question about the earrings that Haley had on,
okay,
and they were found at Clint's. Tell me about that.
Haley had put in some red hoop earrings, and they're the kind you would do body piercing with. They're bigger than a regular earring.
Mm-hmm.
So she put those in to stretch her earlobes. I told her, keep them in, otherwise they'll go right back to small. So she put those in, had them in for a few days. So I reported her missing wearing those red hoop earrings, and after Clint moved out of his apartment, or when he was moving out, packing up, David was over there helping. He found Haley's red earring on the floor and brought it home to me, and I called police.
Okay. What do you mean?
So
what
one
do you
of
make?
The earrings was found.
One of the earrings, okay. So, I'm sorry, you know what, my headphones, they kind of broke up, so I misheard this. So, one of her earrings was found. Does that mean she was at Clint's, or what are you saying? What does it mean?
I think she went by there, even if she wasn't there for long. I think she went by there. The earring being there, maybe she took them off Sunday night. She did spend the night there.
All right, so
Naomi
could, yeah,
says
you can't.
She took them off.
You can't. You know, tell when they were there. That's the thing. So now somebody's asking me about an Xbox video. Is that anything? I unfortunately don't know. I've never heard of the Xbox video. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
Yeah,
Haley
snapshot? Was. Yeah, Haley
okay,
was
what's that?
Playing her brother's Xbox. I guess that was Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing on the Xbox. It takes pictures of you just randomly, I guess. I was told that in that video, it looks like she's wearing the red hoop earrings.
That's what I was going to ask you. So that night, it looks like she's wearing the earrings that were found at Clint's house, right?
Right. Only one of them was found.
Only one of them, right.
I never got to see the video. I was told by Billy Sides, Haley looked so happy and jumping around. Would you like to see that? Would you like to see those pictures? I said, I would love to see those pictures. And he said, I'll get them to you. I've never seen them.
Never seen them. What was okay, Haley's... yes,
Trip?
Go ahead, Carrie.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he is still in Sioux City. It shows that he was registered in, you know, March of 09 in Corpus Christi. And then it shows verification in Colorado City PD on year, you know, 125-2012, and his age 5 and age 7, sexual abuse first degree on both of those out of Oregon.
Okay, this is a sex offender. Let me back up here. First of all, we're talking to Billy Dunn, Haley Dunn's mom. Haley has been missing since December of 2010. And we also have Amber Dubois' mother, Carrie, and we're talking about a sex offender who was in the area of Lindsay Baum when she went missing in Washington State, and also in the area when Haley went missing. And he is on the registered sex offenders list for rape, for, was it raping a child, did you say, or sexual abuse?
Sexual, first degree sexual abuse of a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. out of Oregon, and he is still on the Oregon's Clackamas County's most wanted, but he is in compliance in C City, so I guess they're just going to let him continue living there.
They won't expedite him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they won't. Yeah, they just want to continue letting this guy live
and
there.
And you think he's a good guy, too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Let me
just like
go to
them.
Okay, Billy, is there? Okay, let's talk about anybody else that you can think of that you think is not that you think Ellie is not looking at.
Oh yeah.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear
there
it.
There are some names I don't want to say, but we had Chief Dooley. He was fired from I think Taylor County because he had his girlfriend naked chained up in the closet.
What?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And that's a fact.
Okay, and police haven't looked at him?
Talk about weirdos. They're just, people on the police force that have had homosexual relationships with my neighbor, and my neighbor not getting along with me, and my neighbor being a pedophile, dating my son's friend's sister, she was actually living there with him, playing
mm-hmm.
basketball with my daughter, which I never approved of. I mean, and he's weird anyways, having girls and guys spend the night with him at the same time, in my opinion, and other people telling me this guy is a window peeper. I've always been leery of him also. That guy was also at work a couple days before Haley went missing, talking about killing himself and acting strange.
Okay.
And
oh,
he's
boy.
Never been looked at either. He is, like I said, in sexual relationships with some of the city workers in Colorado City. Some
mm-hmm.
have actually been fired because they were actually caught in public having sex.
Mm. Wow, that sounds like Colorado City is one crazy, wild place.
They're
I thought it was a small, quiet town. Man.
No, the police officers that can't make it in other towns, they go to Colorado City.
Oh, boy, that's scary.
We've never had officers longer than a year. I mean,
really?
They're in and out. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's skip around here a bit. Let's talk about Haley. Because, you know, with all of this stuff going on, Haley, and this tends to happen, I think, in every missing child's case where there's a lot of media, the child themselves kind of gets lost in it all. Billy Dunn, tell us about your daughter, Haley.
Haley is the most beautiful girl in the world. She's very smart, very loud and outgoing, funny. She's got a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Likes all different kinds of music. It's very fun to be around. She's also stubborn and hard-headed, but always fun to be around. She's so much like me.
Mm-hmm.
She's very strong-willed and a great sense of humor.
Was Clint involved in her father? Was he involved in her life a lot? I mean, were they close?
Yes, they were. They were particularly close after Clint and I separated, and I think Haley was 10 years old. Clint took it pretty hard. And Haley felt like she needed to be there for her dad, and she did. And she was there with him a lot. She started going and spending the night with him a lot. She was around him a lot. She was scared of what he might do to himself. And they got a lot closer after he moved out. She had always been pretty much a mama's girl until then. And then she got really close with her dad.
What do you mean she was scared what she would do to himself? What do you mean by that?
I don't really like getting into this. He was just very depressed.
Okay. Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. It was kind of a comment that took me by surprise. So I was a little bit stunned there, but that's understood. She was just worried about her dad is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Do you think, in your opinion, that Clint or anybody on his side of the family perhaps knows something that they're not telling? What do you feel about that?
I don't feel like Clint does.
Mm-hmm. You think somebody else does?
I feel like Naomi's mother has lied so many times, and what for? She has told so many lies. She can't get anything straight, and
okay.
I don't understand why. I know Haley and Naomi were very jealous of each other. I know that Clint doesn't know where Haley is.
Mm-hmm. Are you implying that maybe, in your opinion, Naomi might have more information?
I'm just not real sure about Naomi.
Okay.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if her mom did, but I don't know. There's just so many open ends to this.
Why would, okay, Naomi's mom, Naomi is Clint's girlfriend. Clint is Haley's dad. And Connie is Naomi's mother, correct? Why would, no?
Patricia.
Yes.
Patricia is Naomi's mom.
Oh, okay. So who's Connie?
Clint's mom.
Oh, Clint's mother. Okay. Well, why would, okay, that's Haley's grandmother. Why would she lie? Now, she did say that Haley was very afraid of Sean, did she not?
She did say that.
Why would she lie?
Connie's never liked Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Clint and Sean fought. But if Haley was scared of Sean, she would have definitely told me, and she would have definitely told her dad and her uncles, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. You don't think there's a possibility that maybe she didn't because she was too scared? She just didn't know what would happen? Or you don't think that's a possibility?
That's just not Haley.
Okay.
No.
Let me ask you. Go ahead, Carrie.
Can I talk? And I've talked to Clint a lot before he was isolated from talking to anybody. I've talked to him a lot and asked him if he felt that Sean was a threat to Haley, and he honestly said no. He didn't mm-hmm. think that was an issue or anything else because he said that Haley would have told him these things. But you know what, when you're going this long, and I'm here to tell you, when you go this long, family split up. I mean, there was a time that I quit talking with my mother, and I
sure.
couldn't stand my mother because there's so much and you don't have answers, but you just start grasping at straws.
Mm-hmm.
Clint said, no, I don't think Billy or Sean had anything to do with it. I can't bring myself to thinking that. I mean, I'm sure in time it's changed. Naomi and Clint both took lie detectors tests, and they passed it. But I don't think that, I don't know that Patricia, Naomi's mother, ever took one. And she does mix up her stories all the time, and she does lie, and the things that come out all over the place are a lot of her lies.
Are you talking about Clint's mom or Naomi's mom?
Naomi's mom.
Naomi's mom. Okay, and that's Patricia, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we got this. Okay, let's go back to Clint's mom again. I just want to make sure that we understand this. I still don't understand why Connie, Clint's mother, would lie about that. Is it because you're saying because she didn't like Sean?
She doesn't like Sean, and also I know she wants somebody to blame, which we all do. But she has said Billy's a great mother, Billy and Sean never did anything, and then she went to, oh, Sean did something and Billy knows it, and then back to Billy and Sean didn't do anything. The police need to look elsewhere. And then back to we did something or we know something. So
okay.
And really,
she's
that's
not
what happens.
Made up her
that's
mind
what happens.
Okay.
That's what happens with it. I think every case when you're grasping for some kind of answer,
mm-hmm.
you look at everything. I mean, there was a time that my mother thought I had something to do with Amber's disappearance. My own mother.
Oh, wow.
And it's what happens because you're so desperate for answers and you want so much to find your missing loved one,
yes.
that you just grasp at anything you can, and you go back and forth. I mean, it sucks, but everyone wants to find Haley so bad that your mind plays tricks on you after a while.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where to look at, so you go back and forth. I mean, I've gone back and forth if Billy knows something, you know, one day I'm like, okay, she does, and then I'm like, no, she doesn't, you know, and then Billy will tell you, I've called her up going, do you know anything? And she's like, Mary
mm-hmm.
yells at me. And we go back and forth because everyone wants an answer and no one can, we don't know anything. It's like Amber's case. We just don't know what happened to Haley Dunn.
Mm-hmm. And the frustration just kind of bubbles over is what you're saying.
And your mind plays tricks on you.
Right. Billy, let's go back to the affidavit. You have stated that there's a lot that pretty much almost everything in there is a lie. This is an affidavit they used to get a search warrant to search the car. Now, in the affidavit, they talk about David witnessing Sean come in that day, come home that day, with like this deer in headlights look after he broke in. Was that it? I'm confused. What about that?
When David came home and knocked, Sean didn't let him in. Sean said he was in the bedroom watching TV. So David says he knocked and Sean didn't answer. So there's plexiglass in the door and it was broken. So David stuck his arm in there and unlocked the door and went in. And Sean came out into the hallway and looked startled. I guess just because David walked in.
Because he didn't,
wasn't expecting anybody.
Okay, so that in the affidavit is true. That did happen.
Yes.
Okay, and about what time was that? Do you remember?
5 o'clock.
Okay, that was at 5 o'clock. They took the sheets from your bedroom, right?
No.
They didn't? I thought they took the sheets. What did they take? Do you remember what they took from your house?
They took
Haley's sheets. Haley's sheets,
yeah.
Sorry.
Her bottom sheet only.
Okay. Have you heard anything about if they found anything?
They didn't.
Okay. There are two stories. I just want to make sure we're clear on them, about where Sean was when David came home. I've heard that he was watching TV, like you said, in the bedroom, but then I've also read where he was in the bathroom. But you're saying he was in the bedroom, correct?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Now, the big question, and a lot of people have asked this question, Billy, and I don't want you to think I'm being mean. I'm not trying to be mean, but I think it is a fair question. What have you done lately to find Haley?
Lately, I just want to talk with FBI.
And why is that?
And you know what? I've done probably the most for Haley. I've got her on TV. Me and my friends made the first flyers and passed them out. I reported her missing. I got class kids in, who then brought, thank God, Team Amber and Laura Recovery Center and Human Trafficking 911. We got Hope for Haley started. It's endless.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the only one. Many people have done many things for Haley that aren't getting credit for it.
Okay, well, let's listen. I would love to hear them. Can you do that for us right now?
Courtney Gutierrez has done. She's gone above and beyond being a great friend, starting the website for Haley. Having its website set to where tips, she forged straight to the police station, although police didn't like that idea at first. She's done so much. She paid for the website when I offered to. She did it. Holly Jenkins has been looking for Haley since day one and has spent thousands upon thousands of dollars on gas looking for my daughter. She has waded in nasty creek water up to her waist. 30-degree weather.
That's pretty dedicated.
There are so many people.
Why did you move? Some people want to know why did you move? Was it financial? You know,
this was planned many years ago. Clint even knows this. That I was moving as soon as David graduated. I was getting out of there and returning to South Texas.
How is David? How is he doing?
He's very well, considering the situation we're in.
Right. It's probably very stressful. Billy, I know you've been very good in staying on this long with us, and we're going to wrap it up here shortly. What would you say to the kidnappers? Because there could be somebody listening tonight and who could listen to this show later, if they come on and listen to the pre-recorded to the show after it's been done and it's uploaded on the internet. They could be listening and they could have taken Haley. What would you like to say to them?
That is my daughter. I chose to have her for me. I wanted a daughter and I had a daughter. and God gave her to me. She's mine. She wasn't born to be somebody's plaything or whatever. She's born to be my daughter. I want my daughter back. More than anything, I want her back. If I have to have her back and nobody be punished, so be it. I just want her back. I can't live without my daughter.
What would you like us to do? Web Sleuths members, what would you like us to do to help find Haley?
Not forget my daughter and not give up hope on her. She can come home and we can make her better through therapy, whatever she needs. She can come home and be okay.
There's a name that keeps popping up here, and I am not familiar with it, so forgive me if it's not appropriate. Brian Glasgow? Who is that?
That is Clint's half-brother who threatened mine and Haley's lives, and Clint brought that up to the police in the beginning, and I don't think that police have ever contacted him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why his name is Clint.
Got it. Okay. Billy, I want you to know that Web Sleuths members, we won't forget Haley. We never have. We have a very active forum that's active every day about Haley. And if there are any searches organized, you can let us know, and we will be there to help her, to help you search for Haley. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that this has helped clear up some misconceptions, but, you know, people are still bothered by the fact that Sean threatened to kill you, and that will always bother people because it sounds abusive. And I'm worried personally that maybe you're in it. Maybe, you know, he's threatened to kill you, and that worries me. That when you say he's a great guy, that scares me, to be honest. So I just want you to know that we're here for you. If you want to talk again, we would be happy to. Does anybody else have any questions in the chat room? If you do, post them now. Carrie, what would you like to say?
I do want to say one thing, that Billy has come to me multiple times and asked me what to do. She has followed she's been way better than I ever was for anybody. I mean, class kids will tell you, Laura Cover will tell you that I was the biggest pain in the butt, and any advice I got from anybody, I did not care about. And Billy has gone above she has listened to every advice, which half the time it's backfired. Billy will agree with that. I mean, you know, she's called, she says, what can I do? You know, tell me where to go. And every time there's an opportunity for her to do something. Recently was the FBI coming out with the kidnapped poster, and I asked her to go to the local news stations with a friend out of Austin, and she was right there. I asked her to, you know, when we finally got the flyers done, if she could post flyers, and she was all over it. And she's never, besides me saying, you know, can you break up with Sean, which she says no, and I'm like, okay. But besides that she has done everything that I or anyone else has asked her to do. But she clearly says, you know, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do, and I will do it. And she has.
Mm-hmm.
I've also asked multiple times for law enforcement to get her liaison. I can forward you and only you emails where I've asked, you know, Billy needs a liaison person. She needs someone she can trust, someone to talk to her. I'm not in law enforcement. I don't want to be in law enforcement. But Billy needs somebody that she can talk to, that she trusts. She needs a family information officer that she feels comfortable with. And they've ignored it all the way down to the fact that she went to court. And I asked the chief of police, you know what, go to the courthouse and introduce yourself to Billy. And who showed up, Billy, at the courthouse?
Okay.
Last time. The sheriff showed up at the courthouse. They, you know, they don't reach out and try. And you know what? There's people out there. You know, they have an advocacy center out there for victims. You know,
mm-hmm.
Have someone there. Billy needs somebody that she can trust, that can be her liaison with law enforcement, because she doesn't want to go and get railroaded by them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't. So in my opinion, they're not doing everything they can to help with this case.
Right. Got it. And, you know, this has been very, very informative and helpful to me personally. Now that I have heard everything that you have had to say, Billy, You know, I don't know if I agree with everything, but I am very grateful that you came on. I just want to say again, you know, great guys don't threaten to kill their girlfriends, so please be careful. And know that if you need anything or if you want to say something, let me know. We'll get it on Web Sleuths. Okay? Believe it or not, we are a great outlet to get information and to help. Everybody on there wants to help find Haley. And the best way to do that, Billy, one of the things you can do, if I could give you just a little advice, is to, you know, be seen a little more and talk to us and let us know that you know that we're here to help. Okay? Now, Billy, I want to ask you.
I do know. There are so many people who do want to help. And
mm-hmm.
then there are so many people who have their minds made up and they're set in it, and they don't care what kind of evidence is produced. They're not going to change their minds. And I just don't want to put me and Sean right in the spotlight again. I want it on Haley.
Well,
we have all tried very hard to get Haley in the spotlight.
And I agree, but I can tell you, and this is something that Mark Class would tell you, the best way to keep Haley in the spotlight is to be you in the spotlight. Mark Class was, in fact, the joke when Polly Class went missing was, where's the most dangerous place to be in the world? And that was between Mark Class and a TV camera, because he was always there. Because the only way Haley could, or the only way Polly could be heard, was through Mark's voice. And that's you've got to be Haley's voice. And so, you know, when you say,
right,
well,
and when I did that daily, what did everybody say? That I just wanted to be on TV looking cute.
Well, then you can't, you know what? You got to ignore those people. You're right. You're absolutely right. But you've got to ignore those people because it's for Haley.
Yes, I want my daughter remembered. I want everybody to be looking for her. I want everybody to know all about Haley everywhere.
Right, exactly. And so the best way to do it, ignore the trolls that say that, because you're right. No matter what you do, you won't be able to win with those people. To hell with them. Forget about them. And just you be Haley's voice.
I feel
okay? You be Haley's voice and let us help you any way we can. So, and just anything that you let us know whatever you need. Hang on, Billy. We'll say goodbye here in just a minute. Carrie, Amber Dubois' mom, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us about your organization again, and do you have a website or a Facebook page set up?
Yeah, teamamberrescue.org, and Facebook, we have a page under the Team Amber Rescue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, Billy, was this interview as bad as you thought it would be?
No.
Okay. See, I'm not scary, I promise. I just want the truth. Whatever the truth is. So anyway, Billy, thank you very much for coming on. I hope you come on again soon. I would like to get somebody from law enforcement to come on with me to discuss this case. I'll be working on that as well. Carrie, if you need anything, you let me know, okay? Let me know what's going on with your search and rescues and where you're going to be and if you need anything in those cities, and we'll do what we can, okay?
Okay.
Thank you both very much. Okay, everybody, thank you very, very, very much for coming on. Kimster, don't everybody leave.
Yes.
We got something very important, very, very important. Kimster, we have an amazing case that I want you to tell us about. It's the Web Sleuth Hot Cold Case. And Kimster, you are on.
Hello. This week's Hot Cold Case is about an unidentified little girl. And speaking about Texas, she's from Corsicana, sorry about the pronunciation, Texas. Judy Girl, who is one of the members of WebSleuths.com, has been searching since 2008 for the name of a little girl found in 1977 in a shallow creek buried in debris. She appeared to have been in the creek for less than 6 months, and the clothing she wore was a size 4T. She was wearing maroon pants, white blouse with red animals on it, and the clothing was purchased at Montgomery Ward's. Was she a victim of child abuse and never reported missing? If that's the case, then we want to get the word out. Did you live in Texas in the 1970s? Did someone have a young child that seemed to disappear? Can you help solve this case? There is a lot of sleuthing going on in the Unidentified Forum regarding this precious little girl. Please visit the Unidentified Forum on websleuths.com and help us find out who this little girl is and give her back her name. You can get there by going to the Unidentified Forum, or even easier, go to www.websleuths.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see her grave marker that a kind person donated for her marker, and just click right there, and you'll go straight to that thread and join our sleuthers in trying to figure out who she is.
It's just amazing to me that a young child could be gone that long and not have anybody looking for her. And then again, maybe they are, and they just haven't made the connection. And that's where Web Sleuths can come in and help, because, like you said, Kimster, our sleuthers are working very hard. They work with local law enforcement and with missing persons organizations to try and make those connections, and we've actually had some success stories. So thank you again. Just go to www.websleuths.com, and you will see the grave marker of the little unidentified girl right there that you can click on and get more information. Kimster, what did you think?
I think that we need to find Haley Dunn.
Yes, we do. I think we do. I think, you know, I just don't know. That's all I can say. I just don't know.
I don't know. Carrie and Billy might not be updated with this, but since I do live in Oregon, follow Lynch Baum's case. I have since before I even became a moderator. She's been gone a long time. But they do have a person of interest in that case. Lindsay Baum is one of our featured cases. She's right there in the same area, I think, as Haley. Maybe not. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a featured case on Web Sleuths, and you can find her there on the index page. But they did announce a person of interest on February 9th, I believe. And so you might want to go get caught up on her case as well and see, is this person of interest, you know, has something to do with Lindsay Baum going missing, or is this person that's in Colorado City a suspect in that case?
Right.
So go check it out.
There's lots of sleuthing to do, and Web Sleuth is the place to sleuth. I'd also like to invite you to our sister forum, forumsforjustice.org, where our main case, believe it or not, it's the JonBenet Ramsey case. We still talk about it. And this is going to be a great year for the truth in the JonBenet Ramsey case. That's all I can tell you. But trust me, it's going to be very, very good. Kimster, again, thank you very, very much. You are a doll. Next week, we do have a great show planned for you. I have got some guests lined up. I can't tell you who just yet, because they haven't confirmed, but it is going to be good. So join us next week. Same time, same place, 8 o'clock Eastern. It's Web Sleuths Radio, where we talk about true crime and current events, and we always do it using common sense. My name is Tricia Griffith. Good night, everyone. Take care.